are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, family, we are connecting with our pastor now to get into our deep dive to talk about finding hope and healing after loss today, focusing on hope that doesn't disappoint. Now, it's hard to hope again when the last thing you hoped for was taken. Loss steals not just people, it robs dreams, plans, and even trust in the future. But Romans 5 verse 5 says that hope does not disappoint. So what kind of hope is that? Today we want to look at hope not as fragile optimism, but as unshakable faith in a faithful God. All right, so let's talk about it. Pastor Chinyama joins us on the line once again. My pastor, good morning. Welcome back to the program. My pastor, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Perfect. We can hear you.
I hope it is audible enough.
Perfectly audible. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Pastor, good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, my moderator. Good morning to you and greetings to all the listeners.
All right, Pastor. We continue on with the subject, finding hope and healing after loss. And we want to talk about how we can rebuild hope when our hearts feel too broken to trust again. How do we do that?
Okay. First and foremost, we have to understand that hope is the thing that each human being who believes in Christ should be able to have. We should hope in Christ because it's Him who is in charge of everything. And so how can we rebuild hope when our hearts feel broken? We need to stand on the promises of God. I love the scripture in the Old Testament's book of Joel, Joel chapter 2, reading on verse 25. There the Bible reminds us the words of God to Israel, saying, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the swarming locusts, crawling, and whatever damage that has been caused by the locusts, I will restore. And when you look at that message, that text, dear listeners, you realize that it is a text that is filled with a promise, meaning God knows that we are in this broken world because of what happened in Eden at the point of disobedience, but the Lord will be able to restore. He is a God of restoration. So how can we rebuild? By standing on His promises, and He will repay or restore us.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And so our hope is in Jesus Himself. Our hope is not in the circumstances or in the situations that we're facing.
Absolutely.
And what is the difference between shallow hope and eternal hope? I think that they are different. There's levels to the thing, right? So what would you say?
Okay, I love the use of the words there, shallow hope and eternal hope. Now, in an illustration, if those people that that build the swimming pools, you realize they indicate somewhere the shallow end.
Yeah.
And they indicate somewhere the deep end. And whoever goes in, if you're at the shallow end, well, they may call it swimming, but in actual sense, you are just playing around and there's nothing really you're doing there. Mm. But then the deeper side, then someone will say, well, that person has made it to go to that side. Ah, they know how to swim. Why? Because they know the skills that are in them. So the difference between shallow hope and eternal hope is not sufficient hope, while eternal hope is hope that is sufficient and it anchors on Christ as the Savior. Just as we can read in First John chapter 2, verse 23 through to 25. I love verse 25. The Bible there says, And this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. So dear friend, dear child of God, we should be people that have eternal hope. We should stay away at all costs from shallow hope, because shallow hope is hope that can change. It's not even hope that is pleasing to God, but eternal hope is hope that is really pleasant in the Lord, because it shows Him that we have, no matter the loss that we've suffered, we still believe in Him.
I love that. And even the analogy that you're using of a pool, the shallow end and the deep end of the pool, there's something about the shallow end where you kind of feel like you have a semblance of control, right? If you can't swim, you feel like there's a certain semblance of control. If things get tricky, I can just stand up and I can walk out of here. But in the deep end, you have to trust that if you can't swim, that something will happen. And in terms of our lives, when you are in that deeper end of life, when you're going through situations that you shouldn't be able to go through, you shouldn't be able to survive, but because of the grace of God, you know that you can make it. I think that's beautiful. And how would you say biblical figures like Joseph and people like Naomi, how did they hold on to their hope through their heartbreak?
Excellent, excellent indeed. Joseph is one of my favorite characters in the Pentateuch. I mean, he's just a guy who stands out the best, you know.
Yeah.
So Joseph and Naomi, the two, the similarity is they got to a point when they saw the evidence of God's power upon others. Mm. Naomi saw the power and the presence of God in the people that that were around her. Mm-hmm. And she stood firm and realized that if God can save that one and be with them through this situation, then he is a God I can believe in. This is why Ruth was able to follow Naomi's God, mm-hmm. because Naomi's God was a real God.
Yeah.
Just as Joseph. Joseph saw the God of his father, Jacob. And he realized to say, if this God who has led my father this far until the time he has preserved his life, then if I can only depend upon him, then he will save me. So now he realized he was far away from home, you know, causative by his brothers. But then because of him being rooted in Christ, dear child of God, there is a blessing in being rooted in Christ. You can be anywhere, you can be taken anywhere, but as long as you are rooted in Christ, yeah. the favor and grace of God will continue to elevate you, to sustain you, to protect you, and you just fill your heart with love, peace, and joy wherever you are.
That's beautiful. And I think what I like about that so much, again, when we look at Bible characters who went through the most, they went through so much. I think it's important that we identify with some of these people, because it's easy. We celebrate, you know, the happy endings of the stories. We celebrate Joseph now as the governor of Egypt. We celebrate, you know, all these positive endings. And sometimes we don't really focus on the challenge that the person went through. And yet that's when we most need those kinds of stories, when we're going through the most, to be able to look back at some of these Bible characters and say, if they made it, I think I can also make it. Whatever hope they had, if I could just hold on to that same God, then I could probably make it through my own heartbreak. And yeah, that we need.
Correct.
Can hope really survive disappointment, though? Are there some disappointments that are just too big, too heavy for us to still hold on to? Or does it evolve into something deeper?
Okay. When we see this word disappointment, then we see hope. You see, when there's a disappointment, there should always be some hope. But the question is, where is this hope?
Okay.
Rooted into? Is it in something that we can see, or is it in some certain unseen power?
Mm-hmm.
And so if this hope that we have, if it is connected or aligned to some form of physical power that we can see, then it will disappoint us. But mm-hmm. if our hope is true hope, this true hope which will not disappoint us is the hope that makes God again as the Alpha and the Omega, God again as the in-charge, God again as the one who will be able to even walk on water or part the Red Sea, so that we are able to cross through that heartbreak or that disappointment. So true hope does not disappoint, because God has poured out his love within our hearts, and that we know very well. But if we are having this hope that is connected to a physical ailment, a physical structure or physical being,
yeah.
then it will disappoint us.
Yeah. Okay, so let's in a practical sense, what would that look like? The hope that is in God rather than the hope that is in these temporary structures like you're talking about. Any practical example that you can give?
Okay, the practical example I can give is another gentleman in the Bible, a man by the name of Job. Mm-hmm. He goes through the greatest, if not the biggest, heartbreak anyone in the Bible has ever experienced, even us who are living today.
Mm.
So he went through that, but then he still had hope. And John, is it Job chapter 1, verse 10? Scripture there at the end reminds us that in everything that happened to Job, Job did not sin or curse God. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he knew to say, well, he read about what happened in Eden and he was fully aware. Mm-hmm. But then he knew to say, all this that has happened to me is not because it is I who has done something wrong. And so because I am not wrong, I am innocent. But this has happened because it's part of life. Mm-hmm. So his hope remained connected in the Lord despite a serious, great disappointment that he had, because that was great.
Sure.
So he stood firm.
That's powerful.
I think in the Lord.
The lesson also can be, a lot of times when we're going through something, we want to see, what can I do, or what is my part? What can I do to fix the situation? And we get frustrated because, again, like being in the deep end, sometimes there's nothing you can do. You have to trust that there is a greater power that is going to get you through this thing. There's nothing in your own power that can change the situation. And I guess hope,
absolutely,
part of hoping is letting go of that control that you thought you had and just allowing God to do what he needs to do in the situation.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And is it possible that what God gives after the loss is better than what was lost? I'm thinking about Job again, as you mentioned, who's like you said, he's one of the biggest examples that we can think of the most unspeakable loss. Is it possible that what God gives after is better than what was lost? Is there a point in comparing? Does it make it worth it? What do you think about that?
Okay, you see, most times, us as human beings, especially when we are growing, we think and realize that all is well. Then when we grow, we see the real side of life. Then we get to say, I think I prefer the days I was staying, you know, being kept with my uncle, my auntie, my dad. And then we tend to think as if, those days were nice and they were better and life was a whole lot easier, you know. But the Bible reminds us to say, you may compare, because you know you're a human being, we are human beings, but we are discouraged of believing that the past was better than the future where we are, because the Bible in several portions, if we are to list them down, always reminds us that greater is that which is yet to come. This is why no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and so we need to remember that what God gives towards the end is always the best. Then let me even give an example. You remember the first miracle that Christ performed, dear listeners, was the miracle at a wedding, the wedding in Cana.
Yeah.
The people were served the wine, and whether it was grape wine or cranberry, but they had wine there.
Right.
And after their cranberry finished, then disappointment came. The planner's wedding committee, You've disappointed us. Christ came, gave them an instruction, and then told them to serve. When they served, the guest of honor, the groom, and everyone said, but where was this kept, you know? Mm-hmm. So what God does, what Christ does at the end, will always be the best. So it is possible, and it is always true, and it will always be like that, that mm-hmm. the end will always be better than the past or the present.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful promise. Would you say it's the same thing even when it comes to our redemption at the end? Do you think that our state at the end, or what God's plan is for us at the end, is better than the original, which was our life in Eden?
Okay. Our life in Eden was okay. It was still God's original.
Yeah.
But then the coming of Satan, he changes the original, lies to the woman, and the woman goes also with the fruit.
Yeah.
The man grabs personally the fruit from her, and after that, we enter into this moment. So that which was in Eden is actually what will be restored. So that is the end of what God wants for each one of us.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I love that. Well, thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through once again. It is definitely very easy to look back. I know the listeners know I'm always saying that, oh, I wish I could just go back to my mother's house and be a child again. I'd like to opt out of adulthood. But yeah, for sure, what God has in store for us is better than anything that we could have lost in the past. But would you say, as we're wrapping, would you say that what God has in store makes it worth the pain that we go through in the present?
That's a good question. Yes. So the answer, before I forget, the answer is absolutely yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm reminded to remember the mineral, the material gold. You know, when it's processed and earthed from the earth, it's not gold. But when it goes into the fire and it is tried in the fire, then it confirms itself to say, you see, even fire actually builds me instead of destroying me.
Yeah.
So the pain and the heartbreak we are going through will actually be something that will even stand later on to say, I need to celebrate even more. So the pain that we go through is, part of the training, and at the end will result into us having more joy. Because if you didn't even study and then you pass, I think you can be shocked and you can even be surprised. I didn't even study, but I've passed. But then if you used to wake up at 4, at 3, you know, you put away Facebook, WhatsApp, Twitter, then you take time to study whatever, you know, you're studying, then you pass, you surely celebrate. The celebration will be more because the effort was more.
Beautiful. I love that. Well, thank you so much, Pastor. Look forward to continuing on, connecting again with you tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless you.
Thank you, my moderator. Thank you, listeners. God bless you.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.